Good afternoon. Welcome. I'm very impressed to see this many of you at the last workshop session on a Friday afternoon. And if we want to make sure, we have to make sure that you are where you wish to be. So this is workshop number 354, Faith Formation, UU Wellspring, Strategic Planning, and Social Justice. So if this isn't where you wanted to be, I won't be offended if you now get up and go. Those of us who are presenting this workshop today come from University Unitarian Church in Seattle, Washington. I am the Reverend Deborah Rabel. This is the Reverend Linda Pashby Kaufman. We are ministers affiliated at University Unitarian Church and our community ministers. And our third person sitting here before you today is Roberta Ray. She is a longtime dedicated member at our church and has done tremendous work, particularly in the area of social justice. Our fourth person that you had listed is unfortunately not able to be with us today, and her name is Jennifer Bright, and she is the social justice coordinator at our congregation on staff. And unfortunately for a family emergency, couldn't be with us today, but we will be attempting to channel her for you. So now I would like to begin with a chalice lighting. This comes from the beginning of how a Wellspring session starts each time. So we will have a reading and I will light the chalice and then we will sit for an extended period of silence, which I invite you to allow yourselves into. We begin by remembering the sound and the feeling of one being, the wellspring of love. We affirm that the next thing we experience shimmers with the light of the whole universe. Thank you for joining in that gathering of spirit. As I said at the beginning, that's how we begin each Wellspring session. Although that was only 5 minutes, we begin with 10 minutes. Our faith formation narrative today begins with UU Wellspring. UU, that stands for Unitarian Universalist. Wellspring is a program originally coming out of the First Unitarian Church of Rochester, New York. Since 2006, it has been developed by the Reverend Jen Crow, then a minister there, along with other religious professionals still there, Joy Collins, Libby Moore, and Tina Simpson. They have offered it continuously in their congregation. UU Wellspring is designed to seek spiritual deepening through a Unitarian Universalist spiritual journey. The inspiration for UU Wellspring came from the 2005 UUA Commission on Appraisal report entitled Engaging Our Theological Diversity, which stated, quote, perhaps it would be beneficial if UUs had their own distinctively UU spiritual path, something we could use to explore our own depths and increase our depth of spiritual exploration without having to go outside the UU faith. UU Wellspring was the Reverend Jen Crow's answer to this call by the Commission on Appraisal. Drawing on our own unique history and traditions, UU Wellspring takes a small group of committed Unitarian Universalists on a 9-month journey through our history and theology. This is done via the five spokes or components of UU Wellspring. These are, first, spiritual practice. Commitment to a regular, intentional practice, widely defined. Spiritual direction, monthly self-reflection with a guide or companion. Unitarian Universalist history and theology, reading, reflecting, and deep listening. Small group. Participation in a community of seekers via a twice-monthly gathering. And finally, faith in action, what we are called to do in the world from this learning and reflecting. The basic model for each session of UU Wellspring is to start with a chalice lighting and reading, followed by a sustained silence, as you experienced at the beginning of this workshop. Then a check-in focused on one's spirit, spiritual practice, and spiritual direction, followed by a time for reflection on the topic and readings for the session, and then a closing circle. Starting with this past year, UU Wellspring now offers 4 different years of programming. The first year, which everyone is required to take to be introduced to the program, is called UU Wellspring Sources. The subsequent years, which can be taken in any order after Sources, are UU Wellspring Deep Questions, Spiritual Practice, and Faithful Actions. But how did UU Wellspring get beyond Rochester and way out to us at University Unitarian Church in Seattle? Well, UU Wellspring was so successful in the Rochester Church that the creators of Wellspring looked to take it on the road. They applied to and received a grant from the Lay Theological Grants Program that is funded by contribution to the UUA's Association Sunday. John Luopa, senior minister at University Unitarian Church, Seattle, was a member of this board and had followed the discussions about UU Wellspring closely. As the ministers of UUC were aware of a growing hunger in the congregation for spiritual growth and deepening. With the grant, the UU Wellspring creators ran a one-year pilot of UU Wellspring in seven congregations, of which ours, UUC Seattle, was one, starting in the autumn of 2010. The plan called for having ministers be facilitators for the first year. And the Reverend Luopa invited Linda Kaufman and myself, Deborah Rabel, both of us ministers affiliated at UUC, to serve in that role. And we said yes. The minister facilitators in the pilot congregations were mentored by one of the UU Wellspring folk from Rochester. The idea was to get some ministers trained up right so that they could in turn mentor lay members to become facilitators so that UU Wellspring could grow and flourish in ours and others' congregations. And now some of us are becoming mentors to the next round of congregations seeking to start UU Wellspring. If you would like to learn more about UU Wellspring or are interested in bringing the program to your congregation, please visit the website for UU Wellspring printed on these cards, which are available by the door there on your way out. They encourage us not to do a lot of printing for General Assembly. At UUC, the religious professionals in our congregation were also very intentional about how we implemented UU Wellspring. As a starting response to the desire for greater spiritual depth present in our own congregation and reflective of a desire that has been growing in Unitarian Universalism for some time now, we began by inviting four dedicated leaders in our church, 40 dedicated leaders in the church to consider participating in UU Wellspring. These leaders were those who had given much of themselves and shown an interest in receiving some spiritual sustenance in return. They, in turn, would be a natural entree for the deep listening, spiritual language, and reflection of UU Wellspring into UUC. The enthusiasm of the ministers and the 10 participants in UUC's pilot program of UU Wellspring was tremendous, and all strongly recommended that it continue as a program at UUC. Lay facilitators have been being mentored by ministers at UUC since year two and have indeed been integral, along with the participants, in Wellspring becoming deeply cherished for awakening and extending spirit within UUC and beyond. What we did not anticipate but joyously learned were the other rapid ripples related to UU Wellspring. The three of us are now going to begin channeling the spirit of our missing team member, Jennifer Bright, from our church staff, as we talk about the next part of this story today. Also in 2010, our congregation was looking towards our upcoming 100th anniversary in several years. We were vibrant and growing and knew we needed to be about building a new way for the start of our next 100 years. So we began what we called the Year of Discernment, which was actually a two-year congregation-wide conversation that included also receiving advice from a church consultant who is also a UU minister, Dan Hotchkiss. This discerning and conversation first led to a new mission and vision statement, which when it came to the congregation for a vote, caused two minor miracles. There was no quibbling about language, and it was accepted unanimously in a Unitarian Universalist congregation. Talk about spirit moving. Our mission reads, UUC is a church that covenants to awaken spirit, nurture hope, and inspire action. Our vision proclaims, we will create a more connected, multi-generational community where all individuals are welcome, value, and support one another and contribute to the common good. We will risk leaving the safety of known ways in order to open ourselves to experiences of awe and mystery and deepen our sense of gratitude and awareness that we are connected to creation. We will be responsible stewards of the gifts we hold in trust, endeavoring to leave a generous and sustainable legacy for those who come after us. We will vocally and actively oppose injustice and stand in prophetic judgment of all that would diminish the equality and dignity of human beings or harm the web of life. We seek partnership with those who share our goals and creative dialogue with those who challenge us in our search for larger truths. Next came the process of creating a strategic plan based on our mission and vision, which is entitled Not for Ourselves Alone, Strategic Plan 2012 to 2020. Don't worry, we will not read you the entire plan. You can go to our church website, which is also printed on this nice little card by the door. And instead, Linda will tell you about what the major goals of the strategic plan are and some of the desired outcomes. By the way, it was a member of our original Wellspring group at UUC who led the strategic planning team.
Hello, I'm the Reverend Linda Kaufman, and one of the community ministers at University Unitarian Church. My community ministry is as a chaplain in a large downtown medical center. Along with Reverend Deborah Rabel, I piloted the first UU Wellspring Sources group and have facilitated two other groups since then. Deborah and I also share duties on the National UU Wellspring Advisory Committee, where I was privileged to help write the fourth UU Wellspring curriculum, Wellspring Faithful Actions. So to bring you up to date, we now have a mission and vision, and the strategic plan has been written. The strategic plan laid out five wanted outcomes, major outcomes. One, they wanted awakened spirit. Individuals of all ages feel awakened and deepened spiritually as a result of their UUC experiences. The second outcome was faithful action. All people and groups at UUC are called on and empowered to engage in justice work as a responsibility of their UU faith. The third outcome they sought was liberating stewardship. UUC would have a financial and physical assets that empower us to joyfully live our mission and vision. The fourth outcome was visionary growth. They embraced the growth that has come to us and are committed to serve well a growing congregation of up to 800 Sunday worshipers. And the last thing they sought was connected community. In response to high expectation for active involvement, UUC participants experience the church as a deeply connected, multi-generational community. So then the question becomes, that sounds great. How do we implement it? So what they did was create 10 implementation teams. And you're going to hear the story of two of those teams in a minute. So again, we use the model of invitation. Members of the church were invited to consider committing to serve on any one of these 10 implementation teams, hopefully something that they felt passionately about and had some interest in or skill in too. and they were asked to serve for 1 or 2 years. Each team was led by a staff member or a minister with 3 to 5 lay members who brought expertise and heart to the work. Some teams working on technical change finished their work in a year. Other team work is more adaptive change, and their work will be ongoing. If you remember from Heifetz's book, Leadership Without Easy Answers, technical change just requires us to do things differently. Adaptive change requires us to think differently about what we're doing, and so requires us to change in values and beliefs, or in our case, it was more a reclaiming of our values and beliefs, as well as behaviors. I'll just list a few of the teams that were created. There was Worship and Covenant, Nurturing Multigenerational Community, Physical Space, Spiritual Growth, Justice as Spiritual Practice, Creating Small Church, Membership, and something else. I can't read my writing. Giving and Abundance, and Leadership and Governance. So both the Awakened Spirit team and the Social Justice teams are working on adaptive change. And you'll hear about our work in a few minutes from myself and Roberta. The great thing that came out of this first year were the two implementation team meetings where all of the teams came and reported on their work. Relationships formed and ideas were shared, and in those meetings, the spirit imps, which is what we came to call ourselves, formed a great bond with the social action imps, and we had more offline interactions. These conversations influenced our work on spirituality as much as it did their work on social justice. So it was a great collaboration. And it's an intricate story to tell how it changed our church, so we're going to be passing things back and forth as we try to share this with you. So next is Roberta.
So as was said, I am a longtime active member of our congregation, and particularly in the arena of social justice, both in some of our specific ministries and in our planning work. When asked, if you ask me what I think is the most important work we can do as people in our faith community, it really is faith development and social justice work. I was initially drawn to Unitarian Universalism in our particular congregation because of our wonderful music program and the tremendous spiritual expression that I feel by expressing myself with music. But I very quickly got drawn into some of our social justice work, and then I found a bit of a void when I was looking for how will I deepen my faith experience here and how will that inform the justice work that I'm doing. So when I was invited to consider participating in that pilot Wellspring group, I can't believe it's 5 years ago, but it was, I readily said yes. I also, after completion of the Wellspring program, it was so deepening for our group that many of us made commitments for other areas of church life in which we wanted to engage. And one of my commitments was to the higher level thinking of our social justice programming and eventually the implementation team that Linda mentioned. As part of our work that Linda mentioned about our work as an implementation team and understanding how we were going to deepen our faith and how we might bring the expression of our faith to our social justice work. We learned about the Unitarian Universalist College of Social Justice, the collaboration between the UUA and the UUSC in providing experiential learning opportunities. And these are grounded in giving Unitarian Universalists a direct experience that they would not have had otherwise. Deep learning, that the work is grounded by faith, and that it is meant to inspire and sustain faith-based justice work. So having been through the Wellspring program and then having opened that space for us to understand more completely how our justice work is an expression of our faith, then we were open to the invitation of other kinds of programs and information that would help us along that path. I'm going to turn it, well, no, I'm not. I'm going to ask, we have a big enough group and we're kind of right on time, but I'm going to ask, as we go through the next parts of our program, to maybe hold these questions in mind. When you think of spiritual practice, or if the spiritual practices that you have, how do you define spiritual practice? What are your spiritual practices? What sustains you? What gives you joy? And then, what is justice work to you? What is being of service in the world? What does that mean to you? So these are some questions that we can hold as we consider the next part of our presentation and how some of the spirit imps and the social justice or the faith in action imps work together and saw our work in great alignment. So I'm handing it back to Linda.
So here we are. The scene has been set. After 2 years of Wellspring, the strategic planning process was done. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about the work of one of the 10 implementation teams, the Awakened Spirit team, which I co-led for a year and which Deborah and I still serve on. After the strategic plan was unanimously approved, our church had that new mission statement. We covenant to awaken spirit, to nurture hope, and inspire action. So we dived into our work. All we had to do was awaken spirit. Our formal charge from the plan read like this. We were to look at ways to deepen and broaden the ways we engage people in spiritual growth and faith formation. We were to explore opportunities to connect these threads across age groups. Our strategic outcomes included people experience deepened self-awareness and sense of life purpose. People experience richer balance between contemplative and activist dimensions of life. And cross-generational interactions are deepened through integrating worship, learning, and service. So at our first meeting, we read that and think, all we have to do is figure out how to make this happen. Adaptive change, indeed. Since the congregation unanimously voted to approve our mission, we sensed there was spiritual longing in the congregation. Our UU Wellspring experience helped us to see how ready people were to come out of their spiritual closets and reveal their whole selves in a safe community. Could we spread this Wellspring feeling of safety beyond the circle of trust of Wellspring to the public space of the entire congregation? The Wellspring experience of deep listening and reflection, of speaking one's truth, one's spiritual truth out loud in safety, empowered the attendees to start speaking out loud in other church settings, formal and informal, private and public. we were looking at this in our, we wondered if we were looking at this awakening through our own rosy lensed glasses or if this was real. So our team decided to explore, is spirit alive at UUC? We invited all church leaders and committee chairs to a couple of gatherings to share their wisdom with us. And we asked them, how is spirit awake in your UUC group? What practices, disciplines, text, and resources do you use? What are your hopes and dreams for future growth of awakening spirit at UUC? What would or what could the church do to help accomplish that? We were absolutely amazed that we got no pushback from anyone. In fact, spirit was alive and well, and people wanted more resources, more training, more listening, sharing groups. The tangible result of that first year's work was the Chalice Box, the brainchild of one of the lay people on our team. A Chalice Box, I want you to envision it, is a box about this big and about that high and about that deep. In it, we gather a hymnal, a copy of Rejoice Together, you know, that little book of openings and closings, a chalice, a chime, a bag of tea light candles, matches, and a few squares of bright altar cloth, plus a laminated sheet of instruction inviting leaders to open and close meetings with spiritual grounding. We created 8 of these boxes, so now whenever someone reserves a room for a meeting, they request a chalice box, and their work is grounded in spirituality and ritual. Because of the cross-team relationships we formed, Roberta invited the Spirit IMS team to join a conversation with the Reverend Khaki McTeague about the College of Social Justice. Khaki told her story of spiritual awakening. After some years of doing social justice work and a year of theology school, she spent 6 months in Central America doing social justice work with a faith-based group. She was moved by the spiritual center of the Christians she was with. It led her to our UU faith. She asked a question which still resonates for me. How do we do multi-faith work? What does it say about us that we cannot light a candle and simply join hands in a moment of silence or prayer before a social justice action? Our second year's work on the IMP team is to create a vision and description of faith formation. Adaptive change takes time. Traditionally, seekers have come to our church, to University Unitarian, for 4 reasons: for worship, for social justice or action, for liberal religious education for their children, and intergenerational community. In fact, I used to call it people seek a small town experience in a big city. When our work is done, they will seek us out for a 5th reason, for faith formation and spiritual deepening. My friends, we are building a new way of understanding our covenanted faith. Here are some of the broad brush results in our church. We're building a new way. We have broadened the understanding of Unitarian Universalism as a religion of the head and heart. And people now know their Unitarian and Universalist theological spiritual heritage from being in Wellspring. People are encouraged to think of all they do at UUC as ministry to each other and the world. We have opened the conversation of individual faith development and finding a sense of calling in the beloved community. We are building a new way. Our ministers, John Luopa, and our former minister, Alicia Grace, had been modeling spiritual language in worship over the last several years. transformed and empowered Wellspring alum and ministers have further normalized the language of spiritual or sacred language in the congregation. It's now okay to say God or prayer or covenant or other words that used to be troublesome. We have introduced the value of spiritual deepening and spiritual practice as part of leading a meaningful life in a beloved, justice-seeking community. We're building a new way. We have begun the great work of creating a church where people may come out of their spiritual closets. A few years ago, a member who was a corporate attorney came up to me after the death of her father and whispered, "I think I'll see him again one day in heaven, but I don't say that here." In Wellspring, people look at each other in wonder as they reveal, "I've always prayed, but I never revealed that. I have a spiritual practice. You do too? Maybe we should talk about that." Why is this so hard to reveal in our churches? We have begun the unfinished work of making our beloved community safe, safe for all to bring their whole selves and their whole identity, humanist and theist, straight and LGBT, spiritualist and rationalist, veteran and Republican. Come, whoever you are, to this safe place. We are building a new way. More people understand that praxis, the cycle of action and reflection, works both ways. Some people are moved spiritually and then are inspired to social justice. Some people are inspired to act for social justice and then find spiritual meaning by reflecting on how the action changed their hearts. This cross-fertilization of ideas between our two teams had a great effect on the fourth UU Wellspring curriculum I helped create, because I took all the ideas I heard from their team back to the folks creating the curriculum. We're building a new way. People experience University Unitarian Church as a place to be nourished. The Reverend Dr. Howard Thurman, a great African-American theologian and one-time Ware lecturer, a spiritual mentor to Martin Luther King, believed that the role of the church is the place that people doing social justice work come back to. They come back to the church to reflect, to be nourished, so that they may then go out again into the front lines of justice work. We are building a new way. There is the beginning of understanding that spiritual experience and practice is indeed the antidote to burnout from the secondary trauma of social justice work. So now I would like to invite you to spend a couple of minutes talking to your partner and answering the question, how is spirit alive in your church? So just find a partner and share that for a moment. Are we on time? Okay. Oh. You just have to do one. 1492.
And you had had a mission before, but it just needed to be updated.
Well,
Well, we had classes, but it's ripples from the pool.
Yeah, it's ripples. It's not because, you know, at that point there were 10 participants and the two of us and the parish ministers, of course, knew about the sponsoring. But we were the only ones doing it. But we began conversations. We presented the bishop and the leader of the
Okay, I'm glad to see that there's such a healthy conversation about how Spirit is awake in your churches. I hope that I can get the crowd back. It's a UU crowd after all. Thank you for having that conversation with each other, and I hope you will continue it after the break, and take it back to your congregation. I'd now like to turn this back to Roberta, who's going to tell you the next part of the story, and then we'll have a question and answer piece.
So I'm delighted also that people found things to talk about how Spirit might be alive in their own congregations. I want to tell you a couple of stories that are directly related to our social justice work and beyond that I think came out of the Spirit that Wellspring brought to our congregation. The year after I finished the Wellspring program, I was chairing our immigration ministry, and we had a committee meeting where we were supposed to be looking at the new UUC mission and vision statement, and we were going to revise our charter to be in line with that mission and vision statement. And in addition, part of our ministry is to attend vigils at the Immigration Detention Center in Tacoma, and we knew that one person was going to go attend that vigil and wanted to report back to the group. And another person in the group who is an immigrant himself had volunteered to share his experiences with the group and give a little educational piece on what it's like to be an immigrant and navigate this culture. I had already started with this group a practice of opening with a reading, what some of you might know about Parker Palmer's work and his what he calls the third thing. So it's a reading that's not exactly necessarily about the topic of the gathering, but that it is inspired or intended to inspire reflection from the heart. And so the reading that I brought, I'd like to share with you, and then I'd like to tell you what happened afterwards. So the reading is Red Brocade by Naomi Shihab Nye. It's a poem. And this is the poem. The Arabs used to say, when a stranger appears at your door, feed him for 3 days before asking who he is, where he's from, where he's headed. That way, he'll have strength enough to answer. Or by then, you'll be such good friends that you don't care. Let's go back to that. Rice, pine nuts, here, take the red brocade pillow. My child will serve water to your horse. No, I was not busy when you came. I was not preparing to be busy. That's the armor everyone puts on to pretend they had a purpose in the world. I refuse to be claimed. Your plate is waiting. We will snip fresh mint into your tea. So after that reflection, then I invited the first person to speak about his experience at the Immigration Detention Center. I expected a fairly technical report. What I got was his testimony to how moving this experience had been and how he had found it so transformational to go there and how he was so affected by seeing children there, and he was speaking so much with his heart wide open. And I had to give more time to his testimony because it was important. He needed to be heard, and the group needed to hear what he had to say. And then after he finished his part, we asked the other person to do the educational on being an immigrant. And he also spoke so deeply from his heart and with metaphor and parable and symbolism and deep emotion. And the whole group was undone by the two testimonies, really. And we needed to spend even more time holding each other in that circle. And so we abandoned the agenda item to rework our charter in light of the new mission and vision. We knew we would get to the words anyway. We were doing it in real life in that meeting. And we had a couple of technical things to attend to, which we did eventually. And then at the close, another person said, I just don't know that I have the words. I just feel like I need to say something like a prayer, and the only prayer I know is, may it be so. Well, that was not directly planted by Wellspring, but because I was the only person in that group who had been part of the Wellspring group, but we made a space for that kind of expression of emotion and feeling to be heard. We were moving towards listening to each other differently than we had before. The other thing that I want to talk about is as part of our strategic plan goals related to the one of deepened spirituality as a result of our experiences in our congregation, we made a statement that we would approach multicultural awareness, sensitivity, and competence as something to be nurtured as spiritual practice. This was very important to me because I do see that kind of work as spiritual growth, growth for the individuals in our congregation and growth for our congregation as an institution. In our listening as part of our strategic plan, we heard many times that people had a yearning for connection across difference, and as you might expect, some regret or that we didn't have more people of color in our congregation. And if any of you have been attending the Mosaic Makers workshops during GA or the Black Lives Matter workshops during GA, you know that this is not about bringing more color to the congregation. So what is it about? So we, as our spiritual, or as our faith in action, spiritual action, and social justice as spiritual practice team, part of our work was to sit down and define what would our goals be for a multicultural initiative. And so this is what we discerned as part of that. We want to be a religious community where any person who shares UU values and principles can feel their whole selves welcomed in an environment of spiritual wellness. We want our congregation to be a place where people learn to be ever more open to the vast, rich diversity of human experience as an expression of our UU values and as a form of our spiritual growth and healing. We want to have an inclusive understanding of culture that includes not just racial and ethnic identity, but also class, gender, sexual orientation, ability, religion, and any other things that define one's identity. And we want this work to be inward in our congregation and outward. We want to do the work within our congregation, but as we engage in social justice work in the community, we want to be an institution that works effectively across and with cultural differences in our genuine pursuit of a whole, healthy, just, and compassionate world. And so those are two concrete, specific things that came out of our work with a practice that has defined a new way for us. And now I'm going to turn it back to Deborah, who's going to give a little bit about what we see as next, because, of course, this is ongoing growth, and it's not like we're done.
Our latest step in this process, as of just last week, has been to combine the Awakened Spirit and the Justice as Spiritual Practice implementation teams. Our first work will be to continue honing in on language for what we mean when we say faith formation. There is no clear articulation of this yet in Unitarian Universalism. We already know we want our language for faith formation to be clear, concise, and reflective of our congregation specifically and Unitarian Universalism, our religious faith. It must continue to be invitational so that all feel like they are welcome to participate in it, regardless of their beliefs or practices, while also holding up the responsibilities for being part of the beloved community, for entering into the covenant of beloved community, not just the beloved community of our congregation, but the justice-seeking beloved community of which Martin Luther King Jr. spoke, and that results in things like today's historic decision by the Supreme Court of this country and calls us forward in our Black Lives Matter work, that kind of beloved community. And we know it must be based in praxis, a cycle of reflection and action woven together in order to be able to sustain us in building a new way. Thank you for joining us today in our reflection on our actions thus far, and we hope spirit has been awakened in you in some way, and you too are inspired to take up the invitation to further engage in the process of faith formation. We will now entertain your questions and see if we have answers. There is a mic here.
Hi, I'm Wendy McNiven from Comox Valley, British Columbia. I'm not entirely clear. Does this help?
Yes.
The ice cream cone principle. Okay. Wendy McNiven from Comox Valley, British Columbia. My question is unclear, but I'll try. So I think you've just been telling us that you did this program, UU Wellspring, and now you're not doing it anymore, but there's all this aftermath.
We're still doing it.
Okay, so what does that mean, you're still doing it?
So we've been continuing it each year since 2010. We have one or two Wellspring sources offerings each year, continuing this upcoming year. And then this church year, we've just finished, we offered a first year of additional curriculum, which was the Deep Questions program. And we are offering that again next year, as well as the newest Wellspring offering, Faithful Actions. It's 60. We've now had 60 people go through the Wellspring sources curricula. So this is growing and spreading in our congregation through these people. And I'm sorry if I didn't make that clearer in my remarks, that this has been continuing on. And it's like people get kind of giddy when they do Wellspring, and it's like, can we talk about this? Can we tell people about what we're doing in this small group? Because we do observe confidentiality, so we're not sharing other people's stories, but the spirit is really awake from this in our congregation and spreading. And so it's the alums who are encouraging other people to take part in this, and it's just spreading in other ways.
I just want to add a word that our ministers have said that the congregation is changed from Wellspring. There's a different orientation. There's the congregation is different. They listen better to each other. They come to the work from a different place.
Do you want to add anything?
Just that one thing that I think is important about this model is that the first year began with these two wonderful community ministers facilitating, but then the subsequent years of the sources curriculum have been facilitated by people who have taken the Wellspring sources course and have been trained to facilitate. So we are growing not only a group of people who have experienced the learning, but also who have now gained experience in facilitating, and we keep that going in that way, because we can't rely on two people to keep doing it year after year.
My name is Dick Lesher from Eugene, Oregon, and I'm chair of the Small Group Ministry Steering Committee at our church. Much of what you described sounds very similar to the Small Group Ministry program, and I'm curious, do you have a small group ministry or covenant groups in your church? And how do you see these two different programs relating to each other?
We also have a small group ministries known as covenant groups in our congregation. And they've been around for quite some time. But they are more, they do listen to each other, but they discuss things a lot more. It is more of a discussion and an exchange. In Wellspring, you reflect on the questions and the topic, and you do that by speaking into the center of the circle, and others do not respond to it. They are reflecting on what is being said. So it's a very different way of being together. And for many people, it is quite a challenge to take up this different way of being in a small group in a Unitarian Universalist congregation. People are used to the exchange, which is great and wonderful. And so our covenant groups allow people to have that, and as well, they do a social action project together. We don't have people in Wellspring do one together, but they are asked to be living out their faith and really trying to apply what, you know, it's like, great, you've reflected on this. Now what difference is it going to make in the world? So it's a both and. And our covenant groups have become more interested in being better listeners to each other as a result of Wellspring. Because we have people who have facilitated the covenant groups and are continuing to facilitate the covenant groups that have been part of Wellspring or have heard about Wellspring.
Another big difference is that in Wellspring, you meet with a spiritual director once a month for 9 months, and you're encouraged to have a daily spiritual practice. That doesn't exist in the covenant groups.
I just would make the comment that in the SGM groups in Eugene, the practice is not discussion, but each person reflects on whatever the topic is for their 5 or 10 minutes. And after everybody has shared what they want to share individually without crosstalk, then at the end there's an opportunity for discussion. But there is this deep listening that you're describing.
Fantastic. I'm gonna bring you in as a consultant because I'm gonna be working with the covenant groups this year.
Yeah, Valerie Roper from the Unitarian Fellowship of Lawrence. I went back and sat down because he asked my question, but then I have a follow-on from that. The spiritual direction that's a part of this, is the spiritual director or directors tied to the Wellspring program, or can that be someone who's known as a spiritual director in the community but not necessarily associated with Wellspring?
Yes, it's not part of Wellspring. I am a spiritual director, and I'm in that community. And so I developed a list of spiritual directors who had worked with UUs before or who were open to UU theology, and I vetted them. Like, did you go to a real program? What's your fee? Would you meet with someone for a half hour just as a meet and greet to start with? And then I had them write a little biography about what's their spiritual grounding. And explained Wellspring to them a little bit. And so then we developed about a 4-page list of spiritual directors with these bullet points. And they can start there. But one of those people on the list is from the Spiritual Center at Seattle University. And she interviews people, and then based on that interview, will recommend someone in her vast spiritual direction list that she thinks would fit. So we update that list once a year. But they can go to someone else. But we really encourage them not to go to a counselor because that's not the same as spiritual direction.
So if someone's participating already with a spiritual director, they may be able to continue to participate with the same spiritual director. Yeah, the one of the reasons I came today is the Unitarian Fellowship of Lawrence and the Fellowship in Topeka, Kansas, may be working together to start a Wellspring program.
And that's great.
Yeah. I think it's just in the beginning stages of talking about it, but I was fascinated with the idea. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And I also want to thank the gentleman from Eugene, because I think we've had an inquiry there to start Wellspring as well. I'm working with someone there. Oh, hi. We'll talk later. Okay. Thank you for your question. Do you, either of you want to add to that?
Okay. Hi, I'm Karen Kaufman from Albany, New York. I want to thank you for doing this workshop. I'm so happy to see Wellspring being promoted, because I think it's an incredible phenomenon. At Albany, we have implemented it, I think, for about the same number of years as you. Myself, I've participated in two of the curricula and co-facilitated the introductory one this year. We just finished. It's an absolute phenomenon. I want to just like make up another plug for it. It's incredible how you bring the people, this group together, and there's just this instantaneous feeling of trust and safety that comes out. I've seen this three times now. I thought it was, you know, maybe, but it's amazing. And people just get so much out of it. I wanted to mention, when they talked about the difference between small group ministry, the curriculum is really, really an important element of it. And people, one of the things, even though the spiritual deepening is great, the historical learning aspect of the curriculum is also, people have commented about that many times. Wow, I didn't know, you know, I mean, a lot of, you know, I mean, I'm a fairly new UU too, and you sometimes think this sort of just sprang up recently as a modern phenomenon. To learn the history of our movement is so, it's really inspiring. We've had an overall positive ripple effect, as you said, in our congregation. And so thank you again for doing this.
You're welcome. It's our pleasure.
Yes, I hope you don't mind me chiming in. yes, at our church, we've been doing the UU Wellspring program as well. We piloted in 2010. And we piloted the program in 2010, and we're UU Church at Washington Crossing in Titusville, New Jersey.
Oh.
And we... And we're just going to do the new curriculum, the Faithful Action curriculum, this coming year. And we've had a great response from people who've taken the program. And I really love the way you've tied it to the social justice aspect. And someone asked a question about small ministry group. We've had a small group ministry program for years in our church, long before I showed up. But now, after doing Wellspring for a number of years, we've started a new program called Chalice Circles, in which we use the Circle of Trust model. And we actually, I don't know if you're familiar with Soul Matters, we use the Soul Matters theme-based curriculum materials, and that's working out really well as well. there was something I wanted to add, and what was it? I don't remember. Oh, yes. The way that the people who take Wellspring, have taken Wellspring in our church, wind up being active in different parts of the congregational life, I think is really great. At the moment, four of our nine board members are all Wellspring graduates. And that, I just feel like it makes a difference when you have people in leadership who've gone through the spiritual deepening part.
Something I forgot to mention in my talk was that six of the 10 implementation teams were led or had members on them from Wellspring. And I think about 60% of the people still involved in it had some connection to Wellspring.
And our board president just went out, is a Wellspring graduate, and as are a couple of current members on the board. Three, Margaret is telling me three. She is one of them. I think we're going to move in to we're going to show you how Wellspring is ended each time. So we're going to invite you to stand up, and we'll make a circle kind of even amongst the chairs here.
We ask that you join hands so that we have a circle. You might have to scoot around a little bit. Before we blow out the chalice, each ending of a group, we join hands and close our eyes, and I invite you to speak into the circle a word of what you will take away from today, or just what comes up in your spirit from this experience. Community. For all these things that we have shared together, we are so grateful. Spirit of life and love, watch over these people as they return to their hotels or their a next meeting. We are just so grateful for the sharing that has happened here today. May all here be blessed in body, mind, and spirit, and healed from all that may harm them. May it be so. Amen.
That's my phone. I know the tone.
Thank you very much, everyone. And remember to grab a card if you want.
I got some on mine, so I'll send these
okay.
to you.
Okay, yeah. That's great.
Thanks for yesterday, and thanks for today, too.
Oh, yeah, it was really fun.
Nice.
Got through it.
Yeah.
I haven't done this once before.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love your testimony. Thank you.
Certainly.
Yeah. It's nice to know that soul work
and soul matters with the
yeah. With
do you do theme based in your church?
We have theme based worship. Theme? Yeah, we do. But we don't have it. It needs to go beyond the sermon.
Right.
We're starting to do it.
We did theme based last year, and then this year we just got a resettled minister.